Kof Ches Nisan, Monday the 8th of April, Rabbi Osher Chaim Levine. Think of a number.
Good morning, everybody. Usually when someone says think of a number, you're expecting some geek to dazzle you with his mathematical wizardry. But I'm not a geek, and I'm not going to dazzle you, not with my mathematical prowess. Okay, we'll see how that goes as well. Bearing in mind that we're during the Sphera and we're into the whole inning of numbers, I thought it would be kedai to just give an overview as to what are numbers all about, what makes them significant, and just to discover the extent of their role in Yiddishkeit, which is a lot greater than we would have initially thought. The truth of the matter is that numbers are so common that we take them for granted and often overlook their importance. They actually punctuate and enter, they bombard us in every single aspect of life. And in man's daily affairs, he can't really go without them. I mean, typically, they're the first thing you see in the morning. Don't know about you, but usually when I wake up and my alarm goes, I angrily look at it, the numbers on the digits, and try to say, I can't believe it, I just went to sleep already. And then afterwards, I get up and the dal kamfos, which I have to put on as well. There's a certain distance I can't go before doing negavas, a certain amount of times I wash my hands. Then hopefully I put on two shoes on a good day. Then to know which shul I'm going to, I need to know which street it is. When I'm driving, I need to make sure my speeds, I need to make sure that I don't not driving faster than it should be. There's a certain restriction as to how far I must go. If I go to a shop, the price of bread, of milk, then I get home and look at the Morning Post and can't see the inflated figures on my gas bill, etc. Whether it's going to work and deciding which bus number I'm going to take, or whether which road I'm going to take, you know, am I going to go on the dreaded M25 or not? You know, some numbers just evoke fear in the ears of people. Or whether it's checking the stock market, whether it's looking at telephone contacts, whether it's a PIN number if you're into shopping. Whatever the case may be, if it's the IP address of a website which are based on numbers, wherever you go, numbers are there. It's very difficult to try and escape from them. In truth, life without numbers would be totally, completely inconceivable. If you actually want, it has been said that out of all the different languages, even more common than English is the language of numbers, because that traverses all the barriers, and there were obviously different ways of counting, but numbers are there wherever you look at it. It is both not only in the natural world, the various amount of petals on a flower, for example, or whether it's in man-made world, whether it's in art, the various types of ratios, exactly how they're going to do the colours, whether it's in music, the strings on various chords will depend on the ratio, how far, how long the chords are as to what type of pitch and what sound they make. Whether it's in sports, I mean, if you're a football supporter, exactly what number your team got is quite important. And whether it's in business, wherever you go, there's numbers. Numbers are there. So the truth of the matter is that actually numbers penetrate into every aspect, every area of our life. And that forces us to, when we do say, think of a number, to recognize that numbers are, it's because that we see them so frequently, we often do not understand exactly how important they are, and we sometimes just see them as a useful tool. So this morning, what I'd just like to try and discuss is actually the existence of numbers, the fact that numbers are significant, and also to give some rules or some klolim as to what's the Torah perspective and how to deal with them. Of course, I'm only touching the surface over here, and every single chacham could look into it much further. One could perhaps look, the way to starting to look at numbers would be to understand that they are an essential tool to interact with our world. Our world is a world of multiplicity. We have to count, we have to measure, we have to deal with the sequence. There's a dazzling array of phenomena within the universe, and therefore, any non-unitary system actually needs numbers to expand. When you're expanding the dimension of space, what you're doing is you're starting off with one particular point. So the moment you expand that, you're immediately increasing it, so you're going from a unity into something that is based on a plurality, and then that's how numbers continue from that. And if you take this one particular point and stretch it to one side, so now you have a line, that line has two ends to it, and then if you take it further, then you go from two dimension to three dimension, that's the expansion, and that requires numbers in order to deal with the world of multiplicity. The way the Maharal often puts it is that the nafkamina, the difference between this world and the olam, the spiritual world, is that this world is called olam hamurkov. It's the world of mixture, of multiplicity, but the spiritual, the celestial realm, whatever that means, is called olam haposhet. That's the world of simplicity, and that's the dimension where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and the achdus, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So that's something which is beyond our understanding. I'm not a philosopher, but philosophers have down the centuries debated as to whether numbers, did man discover or did he invent numbers? I mean, were numbers there already and man discovered, oh, there are the numbers, or was it man, the way the man, in order for him to interact with this world, he invented the concept of numbers in order to do that? Actually, yeah, that's not a topic to discuss today, but it's in clear that numbers are hardwired into creation. Even if you take something like the chemical properties of a certain element of a compound, what you're doing is you're dealing with various units that are coming together. Even if you take something, and even an atom, you break it down into its neutrons, into its electrons and protons, and the atomic number is based upon the various combinations it has. So this is all based on numbers. So the very fabric of existence and the very fabric of the elements in our universe are based upon numbers. So if you want, you can actually see them like the building blocks of creation in the same way that it will make a difference whether you have, if you're taking carbon and oxygen together, whether you have carbon monoxide or whether you have carbon dioxide, depending on how many components of oxygen you have. So this all is based upon numbers, and we need to realize, to take them together, they have a marvelous significance in the universe. If we now go from that into looking at Yiddishkeit, we are once again bombarded with numbers in all areas of aspect, whether it's in terms of halacha, looking at Erevin, for example, like the distance of the Tchum being 2,000 numbers. If you're looking at the Lechi, right, it needs to be 10 Tzvachim. If you're looking at the width of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, there's 60 numbers, etc. Whether you're dealing with various ages, right, if you reach age of 40, I haven't reached that yet, but if you, in all the various types of ages, etc., whether it's historical events, whether it's the 40 days that the Meraglim went into Eretz Yisrael, but it's 40 years, whether it's 400 years of Golus, that the Jewish people were, from the time of the birth of Yitzhak, were meant to be enslaved. Whatever that case is, that we find numbers highly significant in all areas of Yiddishkeit. But what is the Torah approach to numbers? There are some people who are awed by numbers. The Greeks were very much awed by them. And they see that there's an innate significance of a particular number in itself. We don't believe that any number has a magical quality, that, you know, that has a certain number, then, oh, it's something gewaltig. We also don't believe today's the 13th day of the Omer. We're not superstitious. We don't say that, oh, sorry, I can't live. I need to live at number 11A. I can't be number 13, or if I can't be on the 13th floor because, you know, it doesn't go. There is a significance to every single number as well, but there's nothing, it's not innate to the actual number itself. So what then is important with numbers? And the Yiddishkeit actually invests numbers with metaphysical meaning. Namely, what does it mean? It's not pshat that they're important because of what they are. What's important is what they're important because of what they do. And we need to then take the number and see what it does, how it finds its expression in the world, in Yiddishkeit, and then from that we can extrapolate the significance that's involved. The number, a number in itself is an abstract quantity. I can't, if I'm trying to teach my three-year-old the concept of what the number three is all about, I can't point to him and say, this is three. I can try and show him three toys, three sforim, three pens, and then try to get him to understand what the concept is, that the number is an abstraction. But I can only do that because it's encloaked and involved in the universe as we see it. And numbers are important because they are the chosen medium HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in order for us to interact with this world. But in the same way that a king will wear regal clothing, and his royal deportment is the way, it's the majestic garb he used in order to project his majesty to his subjects. Similarly also, numbers are like the clothing, they're the magnificent instrument that we can use, Akash Baruch Hu uses, in order to embody the universal truths of Torah. So in order, when we're looking at numbers, what we're doing is we're looking at the significance, how numbers interact with our world, and how numbers are the tool that's used to convey spiritual truths, as we find in the Torah, and as we find in the universe around us. Now, the main person who dealt with this inyan of numbers was based on the Maharal, and I started researching this area and found it absolutely fascinating, and what actually overwhelmed me was the extent that numbers are actually found and the importance of trying to bring them together and to try to understand that within every single number there is a theme going through. So I'd like to share with you four klolim. The significance why exactly it's four is not relevant today, but this is more or less based on the Maharal, and every single person can look into it further. So rule number one is whenever the Torah or Chazal use numbers, it's always precise. It's never incidental. It's not trap that I'm looking for a number as well. So, okay, this happens to be, I'm going to throw out this number. No, every single number is there for its significance. The Torah is not interested in teaching us mathematics. That you can leave for the classroom. And for other teachers who can make it slightly less interesting. But Torah is teaching us Torah's Chaim, the laws of life as well. So if numbers are found within there, they are meant to be used the tool in order to convey those important universal truths of life. Often they embody deep and often Kabbalistic secrets. The Maharal on a few occasions actually does point it and says, I can't say so much, but those that know about it know how this relates to the spheres, etc. as well. But even leaving that aside, there's lots of important concepts that we can find within, encapsulated within particular numbers, and they have an impact upon our life. So for example, let's say, when the Torah mentions how that in Parshas Bereishis, it says, the Pasuk says, V'hana yotze me'eden, and a river came out of Eden, l'hashkos es hagan, u'misham yiporet v'hoya la'arba roshim. So out from Gan Eden, there came a river, and that came into four different channels, and then this became the four great rivers. So then the pasuk goes on to say Shema Echad Pishon, and then the Shema Hasheni, Shema Hana Hasheni Gichon. So the Torah then lists it. Why did the Torah have to tell us V'hoyol Arba Roshim? It's simple arithmetic. We can count ourselves. We don't need the Torah to tell us there are four Roshim, four main channels coming out of Eden. What's the significance behind that? So the Maharal taps into this and explains that the idea behind it is that in Gan Eden, that's the level of unity where Adam was serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way it should be as well. When he left, when he was expelled, he went into Golus. Abba Kamfos Aretz. He was dispersed. Mankind was dispersed. So therefore, the idea of leaving Eden in order to go out of the world is conveyed by the number four, because the number four is when you take one particular point on a flat plane, a horizontal plane, there are four different directions where you can go. So that's the significance behind what the Torah telling us, the importance of four. So now when Adam Rishon leaves Gan Eden, we can understand, oh, he's going into Golus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expelling him. What's happening over here is rather going from the Achdus, the unity that was there beforehand as well, is now things are now going to be spread out the way it should be. And of course, Geula is number five, because then you take those four from the four points, and they come back to the fifth central point. When it mentions that Avraham Avinu went out to fight the four kings, so again, the Maharal discussed this, that these four kings were four Koiches of Tumah, and they oppose Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the one who brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus into the Olam as well. But when it mentions that Avraham Avinu took his 318 servants with him as well, so again, are we that interested in, the Torah is not telling us any historical facts, we're not that interested in that as well. So the fact that they mention 318, that connects him to Eliezer. So there are, so when the Torah makes use of a particular number, or when Chazal do, there's always a significance involved, and often the Maharal, when it comes to, in Agoda, he frequently does that. In every single detail, he will look into it and analyze it, and show how this, the various ideas being conveyed are there they fill the whole theme, the whole path. Similarly also, every single particular number has its particular role in which it plays. So rule number one is that the numbers, the use of numbers, is always precise, it's never incidental. Rule number two is that every single number, number has a unique personality. Of course, every single number is distinct, because it is, if it's four, it's not five, it's not three. But the best way of looking at a number is actually looking at it as if it's a mensch, as if it's a personality. And if you meet somebody for the very first time, you will say, hey, who is he? Okay, well, my name is Shlomo Greenberg, right? So fine, very, very nice. Okay, but who are you exactly? So sometimes it's evident, sometimes it's self-evident who this person is. And sometimes certain numbers, it's evidence. You can look and see. Number seven. Oh, number seven is a reference to Kedusha. Okay, that's very simple to understand. Shabbos is the seventh day. Shabbos Kodesh. Yom HaZayim, seven. So then it's boilet. It's overt. You can understand. You can see where things are going to be. But other times, if you don't understand a number, in the same way that you meet somebody, you don't know who they are, you have to try and sketch together the who this person is, his backgrounds, his character, his experiences. Oh, hold on one second. Did you come from this shtetl over here, or do you come from here as well? Are you related to this person as well? And so by doing that, you can then try to analyze the main qualities, the occupation involved in this, and by looking at a number as a personality, you can then try and understand what is this particular personality involved. And looking at all the various dimensions, that gives you a unified picture of, the, what the, of for example, of who this person is. To give you just a example, which would require elaboration, but the number 130, so 13 days, if you take that to times it by 10, the number 130. Okay, so where, how's that significant? So if we start trying to piece trying to take the pieces together, we find that Avraham Avinu was separated from Chava for 130 years. I'm sorry. Adam Rishon separated from Chava for 130 years. And the Gemara Evrin says that at that particular time, he gave birth to spiritual entities rather than then children, the way it should have been as well. And that was before the birth of Shais. So Shais was born when Adam was 130 years. Another 130 we find is that Yaakov's life in when he meets Paro, when he comes down to Paro, Paro asks him, how old are you? So he says, I'm 130 years. Moshe Rabbeinu was born to Yocheved when Yocheved was 130. Yocheved was born Benachomres. She was born as they came into Mitzrayim. And so when she was 130, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And after 130 years, in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And then he came out as well. So what are these two together? If one tries to join them together, one can see that there's a whole theme that's taking place. The theme of a foundation, the way to create a foundation that's there, that you can have children which continues, binyan adiyat. So for example, so when Adam and Chava, when Adam separated from Chava because of the chataim, he was unable to build a proper foundation of having a child who would continue. On the contrary, both Cain and Hevel, who were born beforehand, they were more or less wiped out. Hevel was killed. Cain, all of his descendants, will be destroyed in the marble. So it would take time. So in order to have Shais comes to the word, like Avin Shasiya, it's the foundation block upon which the world was created as well. So therefore, this is a creation. So Adam couldn't do that until after 130 years. Only after 130 years was he then able to create a foundation the way it should be. Yaakov, for example, for the first 130 years, he had problems with all of his children. They were quarreling with each other as well. His life wasn't considered a proper life until it was Vayechi, Yaakov, Beres Mitzrayim, only when he came down to Mitzrayim for those last 17 years, that's when the children all came out, and he was able to build a binyan that would remain, and therefore, conversely, when they went to Mitzrayim, after 130 years there, was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was then able to build a foundation to come out and to be Goyalem. So, by taking all these different numbers together, one can then build up a picture to understand what is the personality of Mr. Number 130, and one can begin to analyze, understand the significance involved. Rule number three is that the significance of numbers is that they are sequenced together. So namely, a number is not an isolated unit, but the primary meaning of a number is derived from its placement within the context of a wider numeric system. So for example, this comes from an awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There is a divine, orderly, cosmic structure. And things have a certain seder. And there's a Seder that was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yom Echad, and then there's Yom Sheni. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually giving name, numbered each single day. It's not called Monday. It's been called day two. It's showing that there's a sudden importance, that day two follows from number one. There's something that was not in day one, that was there now, day two. And continuing from that, day two, Hashbrochu separated the Shemaim the Oretz, but there was no Yabasha. So day three comes to create a Yabasha. So the things, everything's building on each other. And that's the idea of accounting and sphere, etc., that every single day builds one onto the other. But the importance behind that is that the placement is a significance, because the significance of number three is that it follows number two. So the idea behind Gematria, for example, which is based on the number system, is that the letter base is the second letter in Aleph base. So therefore, its value, which is given the number two, is significant in the fact that this has an order, that there is a structure of the Aleph base, which starts off with Aleph, which ends with Tov, and every single letter that introduces something new takes its place within the grander scheme behind it. If one's taking that beforehand as well, the significance of letter number three is that it is the successor of number two, and it's the one that comes before the number four. So, for example, the idea behind one being the point of origin, two being plurality, as mentioned beforehand as well, but also opposites. You have this way, this on this hand, on our hand, two opposites, which often don't see eye to eye, which are two different sides. Number three brings and brings them back together again. There's a foundation which you can build, because you can then take, there's a point of equilibrium, the two opposites are harmonized together. But that provides you with a foundation, that's a theoretical foundation. Four then takes that beyond that, and then that gives you a space upon which this is able to find expression, which is why you have the Dalet Amos, Dalet Amos Pshus HaRabim, it's based upon the number four, and that's the idea behind space. So the sequence of numbers is also highly significant, because the numbers themselves, each single number, how it plays out, is how it relates to the number beforehand, and how it finds its place within an orderly structure which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the magnificent world which we find ourselves in. The last rule I'd like to show you today is that not only do numbers have a personality, not only is there a Mr. Number 113, but more than that, often numbers Jewish people have an incredible mishpacha. They have relations as well. And it is, one can see a number in the context of how it relates to other numbers, and the fact that certain numbers are related to each other. Okay, there's some relationships that you're happy to mention, and you know, I'm related to this person. Others you want to say, oh, I'm a distant cousin. But be that as it may, despite every single number having a uniqueness in its numeric value, in its quantity, numbers do share many mathematical qualities with other numbers. And in the same way that certain families will have, let's say, genetic properties. Definitely this has a one-year-old baby that's born as well. Immediately everybody can discern, she has a Schwigger's nose, right? Or he has the grandfather's dimples. Whatever the case is, everyone's trying to find, there's a Shaychus between them as well. Similarly also, you have the idea that certain attributes which are involved, this person has, this child has the father's temperament, right? Klal Yisrael considered by Shonim, Gonei Chasodim, etc. So similarly also, there are certain genetic and certain qualities which are passed through from one generation to another generation, and you can find that in mathematical qualities as well. The idea of you have a square number or a square root. So Sheva Shabbos is Tumim Es Tiyena. The idea that you have 7 weeks of 7 days each, and connected to the various spheres, and then therefore, say for example, is Yisoid Shibbe Gvura, so you take Yisoid and you take Gvura, and you do it together as well. So the 7 weeks are an expression, or expansion of that original seven qualities which you find. The idea behind multiples as well, that one, 10 and 100 and 1,000, etc., that you do is, for example, the wholeness of 10 will find a greater expression as it expands into 100. You have the idea of a multidimensional, in the same way that, for example, you have a cube, which is six sides, and the inner point, the six sides are reference to the physical world, and the inner point is reference to the neshama inside, the spiritual quality which unites it, all the cube together, to Savakash Baruch Hu. Similarly also, you can take that further, the idea of a cube also has 12 edges to it, or 12 diagonals. And again, the 13th point, which is today being the 13th day of the Sefira, also has the idea that 13, which is like the 12 encampments of the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and the Mishkan was the 13th in the middle, in the center. That also has its expression. So you could find the relationship between 6 and 7 has its duplicate in the relationship between 12 and 13. And as I said beforehand as well, in the same way that you'll have certain numbers, you'll have Mishpacha, you'll have the Zeda, and you'll have the Einiklach, and it's possible to look at a child and say, oh, he comes from this Zeda, and this, oh, this has, this Einikl comes from him. Similarly also, you can take that, say, the innate qualities of the number 60, for example, can be traced back to the number 6, and can find further expression in 600,000. So you have Shishim Ribui. So the number 6, the Maharal explains, is that the Shlemus completion in the physical world. That has its further expression in the number 60, and then that can take further into the expansion into Shishim Ribui, that the idea that why exactly there needs to be 600,000, the Maharal's going to hold Bira as to the explanation behind it. So the importance of the significance of numbers is not just an isolated significance in its context, but rather what you're doing is you're seeing it in its wider context, you're recognizing that it's precise, it has meaning, it's part of the sequence, and it belongs to, it shares family members, and one can build up the picture of this particular number by examining all the various components and joining it together. So in short, ironically, each number is not just a number. Yes, that's right. The Maharal has that particular mahalach as well. The Maharal often doesn't. He has a slightly different mahalach on that as well. And he will explain actually exactly why there is this particular idea. Sometimes it can be slightly abstract as well. But the Maharal's approach is that the significance of the number in itself is precise. And the fact that Chazal often want to cloak their idea and their symbolism behind it, he will cloak it using that a specific number the way it should be as well. But a number isn't just a number, it's brimming with personality, and it's up to us to discover how they are a reflection of spiritual truths, and so much of Yiddishkeit can actually be viewed through the prism of the numbers. If one starts looking into it, one can understand the elegance of this world as well. So that's how we should really think of a number, not as a number, but as a personality, full of personality, and as the embodiment of spiritual truths. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you have another day.